416 here at KNX. It's the time of the afternoon. We answer your questions about coronavirus. What you need to know, submit those questions to us, Facebook and Twitter. Use the hashtag KNX Corona Questions or send us some emails, coronaquestions@knx1070.com. With us again today, Dr. Michael Hurt, Center for Integrative Medicine in Tarzana.
Good afternoon, Dr. Hurt. Let's get right to it. Los Angeles County announcing today, just a couple hours ago, it's shutting down three new businesses because of coronavirus outbreaks. Dr. Hurt, do you worry now that so many people are going back to work, we'll be seeing more of this kind of problem?
Yeah, you know, Chris, I don't see it as a problem. This is how we should be taking care of this COVID outbreak. This is how other countries do it. It's a surgical strike. You go in just where that outbreak has started from, a restaurant, a bar, a particular location, and you shut it down, clean it up, and teach the business owners how to reopen safely. That's what we should be doing. These large global sort of shutdowns, I think, have really sort of interfered with our recovery because it got a lot of people sort of concerned that, you know, you could go buy a hammer at Home Depot, but you couldn't buy shoes at the local shoe store. And they didn't understand the differences and the sort of prejudicial, illogical, you know, actions that some of our leaders were taking.
Yeah, two sides to every coin, right? So at least we found out that the businesses were having some trouble, and then they got shut down. We can learn from that. These are food businesses, though, food industry, packaging suppliers, that kind of a thing. So is it more that we have to worry about what's going on in the business, not necessarily the food coming from them? Have we learned that lesson so far?
You know, I think we have. It's been extensively studied, of course, because we want to understand every kind of mechanism that people can get this virus. And we all eat multiple times a day. Scientists have looked at, is food a vector? Can food make you sick with COVID? And the answer is pretty clearly at this point, no. Packaging has to be cleaned, of course, but the food itself does not seem to support the COVID virus.
We all know the main symptoms of coronavirus: fever, cough, trouble breathing. Are there other symptoms we should be looking out for as well?
Yes, there are, because when you get diagnosed early, you can get treated early, and that really can keep you out of trouble. And those are the most common symptoms that people think of. But, you know, I see COVID patients every day, and the majority of patients that I see, the first thing that they have before they get their fever, cough, or trouble breathing is they're tired, like unusually tired. Like, why am I so tired? Why am I feeling like this? Nothing in my life should have caused this. Muscle aches. People may also not realize that diarrhea is a common symptom. Some of my patients with COVID have only had diarrhea, none of these other symptoms. Night sweats, nausea, those are some others to be thinking of when you are considering whether or not you have COVID and should be tested.
Yeah, let's stick on that for a second, because I think King's College put out the six different types, and it's a flu-like, no fever, gastrointestinal, fatigue, and then they have a level that's like a lot of fatigue plus confusion, and then there's, you know, the everything, fever, and what we're used to. When patients do come to present to you, are they coming in, or do they stay away if they have a fever because they think, ooh, it could be COVID, or is this all over the phone, the video conferencing?
Well, we treat them here in the office. So we invite and have stayed open from the beginning to treat our patients. We treat them in the office. We want them to come in. We want them to come in early. We have our own separate entrance for patients who are ill. They have private waiting rooms, private treatment rooms. So we keep them completely separate from our well patients. And that's worked out really well for us, and it's allowed us to get to patients early. By the time someone shows up in an ER, or, you know, an urgent care, very sick, confused, as you mentioned, you know, high fevers, trouble breathing, those are people who are more likely to end up in an ICU. If we can get to them early and treat them early, we've been very successful at keeping them out of the hospital.
Well, Dr. Hurt, you talk about your office, just as many other doctor's offices, I'm sure, very, very busy right now. But let's look ahead to the fall, where, you know, we've got flu season coming. It always does. We've got what looks like a second wave of COVID-19, that's what we're hearing from so many experts. Fair to say that, let me ask you this, are you warning your staff to get ready for a very busy, some long days this winter?
No, you know, I have thought for a long time that America is not going to have a bad flu season. We have finally learned how to wash our hands. We have finally learned how to stay safe from an infectious disease standpoint. We have a good, you know, case of germophobia, and that is what keeps people from succumbing to the flu. So there certainly could be another wave of of coronavirus if we don't learn from this last mistake that we made as we opened up and as the, you know, the protests, you know, spread the virus. We're going to be okay, just like other countries have learned those lessons. Fast testing, contact tracing, like we just talked about at the beginning of this segment, those are the ways to stay safe. And I think Americans are going to be very careful and not really going outside their bubble during this flu season, which will protect them.
Yeah, I think you raise a really good point, because myself, you know, I'm washing my hands religiously right now, the sanitizers, the mask, everything. I in the back of my mind, I thought, you know what, I will probably be, because every winter I tend to get a cold at some point, you know, in the throat, the upper respiratory. If anything, I think I'm going to be safer this winter because of everything I've learned because of COVID.
Absolutely. I think you're precisely on the right track there. And there have been studies showing that masks can reduce the transmission of flu-like, you know, viruses. We haven't really done that definitive study for COVID, but based on our knowledge of what masks have done for other viruses, we're recommending universal masks at this point.
This is exactly a Twitter thread I fell into the other day, and it was this conversation, people saying, you know, all those little nagging things I would pick up for a few days or a week here, a week there, I feel like I haven't had them because I've been at home and I've been washing my hands so much. So maybe that is a little bit of a silver lining. We got a question in from Eve saying she sees people running or biking, and I'm sure a lot of people have seen this. They pull their masks up right when they come by you or right by somebody else. But then she's wondering if they're just leaving an aerosol wake behind them from when they were breathing when they didn't have the mask on that she has to go through.
Well, you're going to have to go through, you are walking through that aerosol either way. Remember that aerosols are not stopped by a cloth mask, just the respiratory droplets. The good news is that outside, the air dilution is so good that we don't really see a lot of transmission in that way. However, the person should put on their mask to reduce the respiratory droplet and that cloud at least, you know, 6 feet from where you are, perhaps 10 if they're breathing heavy, and I imagine they would be if they're biking or running. Or alternatively, you hold your breath until you've cleared, you know, 10 feet on either side of them.
We're speaking with Dr. Michael Hurt with the Center for Integrative Medicine in Tarzana. Dr. Hurt, a question from Margaret, one of our listeners. She asks if being a smoker has an effect on your virus risk.
It does. Remember that the most dangerous component of this virus is its effects on the lungs. The second is its effects on blood clots in your arteries. And smoking, you know, destroys the little hairs that line your bronchial tubes in your lungs. These are called cilia, and they help to remove waste and mucus and particles and viruses and bacteria. And when you smoke, you basically burn those hairs down to nubbins, and they can't function to keep your lungs clear. So the CDC does list smoking as an increased risk factor for serious COVID complications.
All right. Dr. Hurt, thanks so much for the time.
My pleasure. Thank you, guys.
We'll talk again. Center for Integrative Medicine there in Tarzana.